All right. I told you, now that was worth the wait, wasn't it? If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Those that went to the prison team Friday night, you're getting a double dose. You probably need it. I do. Ezekiel 37. If you have it, go ahead, and if you're able, stand for the reading of the word. If you're not able, that's okay. If you have it, say amen. If you need a second, say hang on. All right, hang ons have it. I'm going to hang on for a few seconds. Here we go. Ezekiel 37. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" You may be seated. You know, the way this is kind of odd for some of you. So, well, where does Clint Eastwood come in? You got to hang on a minute. We were at prison Friday night, and God gave me a word. It had nothing to do with Clint Eastwood. And just how the Spirit does. See, sometimes we think these funny things or these introductory remarks is flesh, and then somehow, you know, the Spirit clicks in. But I don't really believe so. I believe God's about all of it, and I believe God uses all of it together for His purpose if we're led by the Spirit. I mean, you look at that, for example, that Peter Putnam video. How many knows Grant got a call this week? That little silly video we played last week about Peter Putnam's weight belt? It got noticed on the internet by a bunch of people. And they're going to cover a story in a magazine called Faith and Fitness Magazine in the June issue about God's gym in Little Wise, Virginia. So I'm not sure about this. Well, this is the funny fleshly part of this, and then we get in the Spirit. I think if we're in tune with God, He's going to lead us in all these things, and He uses them together. And so we were just starting off at prison, and it just came up. You know, I call these prison team the Rated R Warriors, because I just have such respect for the guys that go in behind the walls with us and drive all that way and give up their time. And, you know, that's really where the gospel is. If it's not inconvenient to you, you're really not living a Christian life, honestly. I mean, I'm not saying you're not Christian. I'm just saying if you follow the example of Christ, there's nothing convenient about it. So if you're living a convenient Christianity, it looks nothing like Christ. Christ said, "Follow me." So if you're living convenient Christianity, it's not what Christ led. So it's not about what's convenient. So I really have respect for these guys that go on Friday nights. I know that not everybody can. That's cool. Everybody works and has different schedules, and I appreciate the prayers. We had people come load the thing. That's not where I'm going, but I do have great respect for that group of men and women that I call the Rated R Warriors. So I was talking about them and just how it goes, and I somehow called them the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's really what I think I could say about this group. We're the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some of you are good, or you serve a good God. Some of you are bad. Some of you been bad, but some of you bad in a good way, too. I was talking to my brother this week, and he was telling me one point in time he was a bad man. He was a dangerous man. I said, "Brother, you don't know." I said, "You're still a danger. You're more dangerous right now. Some of you think you used to be bad. Oh, I used to be bad. I was a bad man. You don't know bad. You're going to be bad in the future. Let me tell you what. You are some dangerous men and dangerous women in this place if you understand how powerful you are in Christ. If you truly understand the power of what lives within you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you realize that that Spirit lives within you and operates through you, then you are a dangerous, bad man or woman." That's why, you know, we do have a humility to God, but I'm really not about a Christianity where I'm just like defeated. Yes, I have a humility to God. It's all about Him. But I have no reason to walk by my fellow man like I'm defeated all the time. There's power living in me. I got a reason to put my chest back. It's not because of me. It's not because I'm tough. It's not because I lift weights. It's not because I'm so pretty. It's not because of what I make or don't make or what I drive or what I live in. It's because I live a powerful, serve a powerful God who lives within me. And that's powerful. So bad, good, the bad, and the ugly. Some of you are just ugly. You're not genetically gifted. You're waiting for something deep and spiritual. Some of you are just ugly. I'm just kidding. But the good and the bad and the ugly, and what that did for me, you know, I was super close to my grandparents growing up. And so there are things I grew up with. And things I grew up with included things like boxing. You know, my grandpa and I used to watch boxing. He said, well, I don't know if that's right or, you know, that's violent. That's how my life was. I grew up with a grandfather. And I'd sit around the couch on Friday nights and we'd watch boxing. And I bonded with him that way. And even back in those days, back when it was real, we watched wrestling. But it was real back then. Wasn't like today. Woo! That's my boy right there. He could do it. He could do some stuff for you. So we watched wrestling. But the other thing my grandfather and I watched, which is a lost art, because Demi, I was watching Josie Wells last night. And Demi was over with her friend and Micah, and they come in the room and they sit there, and that's Clint Eastwood, man, the icon of my generation. I mean, Clint Eastwood. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, he was bigger than the president, you know, to me. And Micah goes, who is that guy? I think he looks familiar to me. Who is that old man? I thought, boy, I'm old. But, you know, Westerns. I mean, how many have a memory of a father or a grandfather or, you know, sitting and watching Western movies? And I remember my grandfather, he really loved them. And we were watching one day, and he looked at me, and with all sincerity, really touched my heart. And I'll never forget it. He looked at me, and it was a little town with a barber shop and the bank. And he said, you know what, bub? He said, I'd like to live in a little town like that. He had a yearning for a simple life, an older life, an older way. So I think about these Westerns. So I think about wrestling, and I think about boxing, and I think about Westerns. And so just by coming up with the good, the bad, and the ugly, I started having this mental imagery on the spot. We didn't plan that thing. You know, we weren't planning on talking about Clint Eastwood in prison Friday night. But I started thinking about it. And so I got this mental imagery of the spaghetti Western. That's the one you saw. Serge Leone, this Italian director, come up with these kind of alternative Westerns, cutting-edge Westerns, where they didn't talk a whole lot, and they had weird music. Right? You know about those, don't you, Josh? Josh, what is Clint Eastwood's name in all those Westerns? You don't remember. Anybody know his name? You were there Friday night. Steve, shut up, man. Come on, Steve. Come on, Steve. You steal my punchline, Steve. Cheated on me. Well, let me tell you, he had no name. He's known as the man with no name. He never spoke much, and he had no name. But I think about the man with no name, and as he would journey through the desert. And I want you to go there with me. Has everybody seen these kind of movies? I want you to think about it with me. I want you to go there with me. I want you to put your mind around this. How he would get in the middle of these big, vast deserts. He'd always get himself in a predicament. He'd turn his canteen over, like I'm right now thirsty, and there'd be like the last drop come out, and it'd be empty. And he would look, and it would just be sun and hot and sand as far as he could see and dryness and death. And it looked like a bleak, bleak place. And he would walk a little further and walk, he'd get tired. And all of a sudden, if you've seen, he'd go down to one knee. Right? Tired. Thirsty. And starting to worry about hope. Starting to worry about hope. How am I getting out of this situation? Sand as far as I can see. Dryness as far as I can see. How do I get out of this situation? I don't see any life. I don't see any water. I don't see any happiness. I can't stop where I am or I'll die. But I can't keep going either. What am I going to do? Can you see it? And in my mind, I remember these movies, and I see, that's how vivid I see it. I see how his lips were chapped in those movies. You know what I'm talking about? Lips so dry, the little wrinkles all in them, in the corner of his mouth, scabbing over. And eyes with the wrinkle marks all around the eyes. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see the cactus? Can you see the lack of hope? And then maybe out in the distance, the sun starts to hit the horizon, and he looks out there, and he gets a little smile in the corner of his crackle mouth, and he thinks he sees water, and he gets up, and he tries to run, he starts to stumble, and he falls, and he up, and he falls, and he runs, and he gets there, and he dives into that thing that he thinks is going to save him, that water that he thinks is there, that vision, that oasis that he's waiting for, and he dives in. But it's all sand, because all those Westerns had something called mirages. It looked like it would help. It looked like it was hope. It looked like something that would make their life complete. It looked like something that would make their life better. And they worked and they worked to get there, and they struggled to get there. But when they got there, it was the same. It was dry dirt. It was death. Chasing mirages, hoping that it'll satisfy your thirst, but it doesn't do it. Have you been there? Can you see it? Can you see it in your eyes? And have you been there? Dead, dry places. And in these movies, this is what always happens. This is what always happens. As he gets to a certain point, and he's just trying to find something to hope about. You say, well, boy, you're talking about Westerns a lot. I'm talking about life. He gets to this point where he's just looking for a place to hope. And he looks over thinking, maybe I'm getting closer to something good. Maybe I'm getting closer to rescue. Maybe I'm getting closer to life. Maybe I'm getting closer to something worth getting up for. And as soon as he looks to his left, what does he see? Dead bones. Dried, dead bones. And what he's reminded of is there lies the last guy that tried to walk down this road. See, some of us, we walk on a road of hopelessness, and we pass dead body after dead body. Passing the last people that tried to go down that road. Maybe it'll be different for me. And so, as I segue into Ezekiel 37, that was the mental imagery that God gave me in a prison Friday night. A very complicated set of imagery, going back to my grandfather on a chair. But of a man with no name, or a woman with no name for that matter, trying to make their way through a desert of hopelessness and despair. That is where the prophet Ezekiel was taken in this vision, to a hopeless looking place, a valley, a desert, a dry, dead place. A valley of bones. Some of us, if we're honest right now, we're in a valley of bones. We put on a smile for our children. We put on a smile for the world. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But if we really get down to it, some of us are in a valley of bones. Dead things. Hopeless things. Monotonous things. That's the thing about the desert. Same thing about an ocean, if you've been on an ocean for long periods. Or in the woods, if you've been in the woods for long periods and you're a little bit lost or a little bit turned around. In the desert, you could travel miles and miles and miles and it all looks the same. Some of you have been on this journey for a while, but it's starting to all look the same. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's all starting to look the same. That's what happens to pilots sometimes at the night if they don't know how to use their instruments, if they're using sight. They get up there in the horizon and it's just black as far as you can see, darkness. And they lose their equilibrium of what's even up or what's even down. They call that pilot vertigo. That's what killed John F. Kennedy Jr. He went full speed ahead straight to the ground, thinking he was going up. Some of us go full speed to the ground, thinking we're going up. Vertigo. Desert, wandering, stumbling. So this prophet Ezekiel was taken in a vision into the valley of dry bones, a dry place, a dead place, surrounded by death, surrounded by the bones strewn of who knows who. And we know this prophecy dealt with the people or children of Israel, but understand this. Every word in this Bible is layers after layers after layers. And it applies just as much to you and me as it did to those people thousands of years ago. So as he looked around at those bones, I want you to focus on what the bones could be. We don't know who the people are. I mean, I imagine in my mind, because of the number of bones, because they emphasize, the scripture emphasizes a vast number. I almost see in my mind an army. I mean, I can't say that's for sure, but that's kind of the way I see it. Maybe an army that was going off to somewhere and didn't quite make it. But that's not the point. Now they're bones. Now they're bones. And what do we know about those bones? What do we know about? Number one, we know they're dead. They're dead. Many times in our life when we look around, we're surrounded by dead things and we keep playing with dead things and we know where they're dead. Why do we keep playing with them? When Lazarus came forth from that tomb, it would have been idiocracy. It would have been insane. It would have been nuts to go back in and start playing with bones. He was out of that tomb. So why then do we as people of God hang around graveyards and play with bones? These were dead things. And sometimes in our life, we can wake up in our valleys. We can wake up in our dry places. We can wake up in our lives and we can find ourselves surrounded by dead things. How many know what I'm talking about? Surrounded by dead dreams, dead hopes, dead parts of our life. Dead feelings. It's hard to love anymore. It's hard to have passion anymore. It's hard to have excitement anymore because there's dead things in here. Dead things. Dead things in our past. Dead things in our relationships. Dead things in here. These bones were dead. And I wonder how many of us have dead dreams. Hopes we've quit on. We once had a bright eye about us. We once had a little more pep to our step. We once had a hope. We set off on a journey. That man with no name, when he started on his journey, he probably was on his horse and he had a few canteens of water and he was ready to take on the world. But you find yourself around dead things. What else do we know about these bones? They were dried out. Not just dried out, they were completely dried out. Dried out all the nutrients, all the water. They weren't dead just a little while. They laid and died. And every bit of flesh was stripped off of them by the sun and the elements and the heat. Dry bones. Sometimes in our life we can be in awful dry places. We're just a feeling of a drink of water would be awful nice. But it's dry. Completely dry. Dead and dried out. But the Word of God also says they were scattered bones. They didn't seem to make sense. In other words, come here. Hurry. Turn around. These are bones. That bone is connected to that bone, and there's joints. It makes sense. This is how his bones were created, to fit together. There's only one way they fit. Sit down. But these bones were scattered. They no longer fit together in the way they were created to fit together. You see, you were designed with purpose. You were created with purpose. Prophet Jeremiah said before, I was formed in my mother's womb. I was appointed a prophet to the nations. You have purpose. You have destiny. Your life is supposed to fit together a certain way. God on top and all these other things down here. You're supposed to have a certain order to your life. It's supposed to fit together. It's not supposed to be chaos. It's not supposed to be quarreling and fighting and swapping and swearing and all this stuff in our life. It's supposed to fit together. It's supposed to make sense. It's not supposed to be chaotic. Is it busy? Yes, hopefully so, if you're living. But it's supposed to fit together, to function a certain way. If you put a skull bone on your foot, put a foot up on your head, you're going to look weird, aren't you? You're not going to be able to do anything. You can't keep balance on that head, and you can't see out of your foot. Everything's supposed to fit together a certain way, but these bones, these dead, dry bones, didn't fit together. Sometimes in our life can be all out of sorts and scattered. Nothing seems to make sense. Nothing seems to fit anymore together. We can't keep our mind around things. It's like a scattered life, a chaotic life. Just trying to keep up with things. Chaotic. Scattered. You can be scattered around a bunch of people. The way I see it, these were piles of bones. They were bones on bones. It wasn't like they were alone. They were all on top of each other. But it didn't fit together. You can have all kinds of people in your life. You can be around all kinds of people. You can be in all kinds of church houses. You can be preaching and jumping and yelling and screaming. But does your life fit together? Or are you scattered? So these bones were dead and they were dried out and they were scattered. But you know what else they were? We're getting somewhere. We're almost there. Are you with me? Or did I leave you all back in town at the saloon and I'm the one going through the desert? They were dead and they were dried out and they were scattered. But you know what else they were? And I think that's where some of us feel. They were forgotten. Let me tell you something. In that time period, even today, you know, somebody, you can have a family member that's been killed, and I know I'm touching sensitive subjects, but it's real life. You can have a family member that's been killed or missing, and they've been missing 30 years, but there's something that keeps that family driving on to find that body, to put that body in a grave with a tombstone, because that's my people. I don't want them to be forgotten. That's my people. I don't want their bones scattered. I want them in a grave with their name on it where I can go visit them because I remember them. I love them. I remember my family. But these bones had no headstones. And nobody had come to get them. So these bones were forgotten. Some of us feel forgotten. Some of us feel like our lives are past and nobody cares about us anymore. We're forgotten. And maybe we feel people will use us. Maybe we feel people will tolerate us. Maybe we feel we're around people. But maybe we feel forgotten, unappreciated, unwanted. Maybe forgotten. Or maybe it's not us that feels forgotten, but maybe it's old dreams that are forgotten. Maybe it's old hopes that were forgotten. Maybe one time we had a hope that we were going to be somebody. I'm going to do something. I'm going to be president. I'm going to play in the NFL. I'm going to be in a rock band. I'm going to have a good job. I'm going to marry a pretty woman. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I got dreams, man. I got reasons to get up. But those dreams start to dry out and those dreams die and those dreams scatter and before long they're forgotten. They're forgotten in the monotony of a life where it's feet, step after step, just trying to get through a desert and trying to survive instead of trying to live. Trying to survive instead of trying to live. So maybe that's us. Maybe there's some people in here, I don't know. Maybe just me. That have had some things deep down in here. things deep down in here. Sometimes we got to get beyond this. We like to deal with everybody here. I'm going to keep you right here, Bob. I can manage you out here, Bob. I don't want to let you in here. There's a lot of relationship. I'm talking about man and woman kind of thing. There's a lot of relationship problems that happen because we can't let anybody in here. We keep them out here. Because I'm scared. There's dead, dry things in here. There's forgotten things in here. There's things that hurt in here. Dead bones. So the question, you know, this is like a preacher. Wow, man, it's an uplifting message. You know what? The question I think we ought to ask is, can these bones live again? Can these dried dreams and hopes live? Can these dead dreams and hopes get up? Can these scattered things come back together? Can these forgotten things be remembered once again? Oh, Son of Man, can these bones live? Lost Creek, can these bones live? He asked me, Son of Man, can these bones become living people again? We got to see them not just as a chicken bone laying on the ground. We got to see them for what they are. Those are our lives we're talking about. Those are our children we're talking about. Those are our hopes and dreams we're talking about. Those are our husbands and wives we're talking about. Those are our schools we're talking about. That's our purpose we're talking about. Can they live again? Can these dead things get up again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. He knows. He knows where you are. You can fool me. You can fool him. You can go into around a bunch of people and you can talk the game. I know how to talk the game. I played that game before. I can pray on my own. I can say a prayer. All right? We know how to say a prayer. We can do it on our own. We can fake it. But he knows what's going on. He sees them for what they are. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, dry bones, listen, listen, Lost Creek, to the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. Dead dream, dead hope, dead life. I, says the Lord, I'm going to put breath back in you. And you will live again. He didn't say you're going to exist. He didn't say you're going to get by. He didn't say you're going to be another step closer to the graveyard. He said you will live again. I will put flesh and muscles and cover you with skin, and I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord. Maybe I'm just crazy to think that there may be some dead things that want to live again in here today. That there may be some dead dreams that may start to breathe again. That there may be some dead hopes that are going to get up out of the dirt. That maybe there's some people that have sat down and quit. And it's time you got up and lived. Maybe I'm crazy. But that's what I see here. The world can see a valley of bones. The critics can see a valley of bones. The critics can drive by and watch on news streams and talk about how we do this and we do that and how, oh, we're rough around the edges and we don't dress a certain way and we don't speak a certain way and we're a little rowdy sometimes and we are a little bit fresh from the street sometimes. They might see bones. But God says, I'm going to put flesh and muscle and breath. So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. I hear a noise. Can you hear it? Are you worried about hamburgers or can you hear the noise? You falling for the devil's tricks again like a punk, like you have time and time again? Or do you feel the noise? We got to stop letting the devil distract us and stop failing like we always fail and stop falling in the dirt like we always fall in the dirt and start doing things a little different. Listen to what God's saying this morning. I hear the sound. I didn't come here to play games with you. I came to prophesy over a valley of bones and see an army get up and arise. If you're looking for a cute sermon and a smiley message and a pat on the back as you go out the door, Jack, you're in the wrong place. I came to see dead things live again. So the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Listen to this. This is as far as some people get. I want you to hear me out. I was talking in God's gym yesterday. I've seen 1,000 knees hit this altar. Literally, probably. Is that probably a good estimate? I mean, that probably. I'm more. Yeah. So, for a moment, stuff starts to come together. They got a little hope, a little revival. I get that mirage, you know? I see something out there. I mean, for a moment, everything's good again. Oh, I'm excited. Preacher, I'm excited. Preacher, use me. Preacher, get up my face if I mess up. Preacher, you have full permission to get up my face if I mess up. If I'd have really kept my word, I'd be in jail by now. Really. People, and this is designed to help us. People come, and all of a sudden, stuff starts to come together for a moment. Stuff that was out of sorts in their life starts to come together. And all of a sudden, those old dry bones, muscle, and flesh start to cover it. Skin and hair, they start to shine. But do they breathe? You see, he first spoke a prophetic word and the bones came together. And the muscles formed. Looked strong to me. But there was no life. That's what a lot of these programs in the world try to do. They mean well. They try to put things together. 18 steps and 48 steps. And those are good things sometimes. No criticism here. But let me tell you something, friends. Sometimes you're just putting muscle on dead bones. So the bones got flesh and they got skin and they started to come together and make sense. But there was no life. Say life. In them. So then he said to me, God, what do I do? God, I said what you said. I did what you did. I came to an altar. I'm trying, God. And things are starting to come together. Why am I not alive? Why have I not completely got it? Why has it not completely stopped? Why do I still have temptation? Why do I still look at porn? Why do I still cheat on my wife? Why do I still do drugs? I'm trying, God. The breath isn't there. The breath. So why, God? He said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds and breathe into those dead bodies so they may live again. The Spirit of the Lord is always associated with wind. With breath from the book of Genesis, as God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, life was created. There's life in the Spirit of God. There's life in the breath of God. He could take a dead thing, a dried up thing, and he could just breathe his spirit. And life happens again. It's not enough to try to put things together yourself. That's a good thing. Great. I think it's good. But you got to have the Spirit of the Lord. To truly live, it's got to be the breath. You can't just try to figure it all out. You'll be figuring it out till you die. It's just like passing those bones in the desert. There's the last guy trying to figure it out. There's another guy trying to figure it out. That's the woman that tried to figure it out. That's the one that tried to be on her own. That's another. We keep passing dead bones of people who tried to figure it out, and we can't get it through our thick heads that it takes the breath of God. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You're going to keep getting the same results, man or woman, because you keep doing the same things. Just honest. What's going to change? You keep doing the same things. You're in a pattern. You're marching through a desert of a valley of dry bones. So I spoke the message as he commanded me. I've spoke the message that he's told me to speak to you today. I'm not perfect. I mess up. This stuff goes for me too. I get on my knees too. I beg forgiveness too. I'm too harsh sometimes too. I'm too lax sometimes too. But I'm preaching the message the best way I can that God has given me to preach to you. So I spoke the message he commanded me. And breath came into their bodies. Breath came into their bodies. Dead dreams. Breath came into your body. Dead hopes. Breath come into your bodies. Dead people. Dead emotion. Dead love. Dead relationship. The breath comes into your dead bodies. And they all, Pastor earlier said all. Say all. How many's all? My good old grandfather, who in a way, through the help of the Holy Spirit, inspired this message, or at least the Clint Eastwood part of it, used to have a corny joke. We'd pass a graveyard, and he'd say, Bub, how many dead people were in that thing? And I would try to count, you know, look over there. I'd say about 1,000. Bad ball, he'd say, all of them. They all. That doesn't exclude anybody in this room. The devil has told you you're excluded long enough. The devil's told you you're not one of them. The devil's told you you're not all. You're different. You're damaged. Guess what? He's told us all that. He's told us all that. He told me that. And he told you that. And some of you is telling you that right now. This is not for you. You can't do this. Maybe you got to get a few things straight in your life first. But my word of God says all. Every butt in this room is what all is. All. They all came to life and they stood on their feet, not defeated, not just getting through life, not just shuffling, not just struggling, not just stumbling, not just bumbling, but they stood to their feet alive, full of blood, full of breath, a heart of pumping, a great army. The critics with their whitewashed tombs can see dry bones. They can criticize all they want. You know what? They get my vote when they get off their butts and start doing something. Then I'll be on their team. I ain't in love with no t-shirt. I'll play on whatever team does the will of God. But get off your butts and do something. The critics see a valley of dry bones. But I see an army. First I heard a rattle, Bob. First I heard a rattle, Regan. His bones starting to come together. Then I heard a breath, Grant. Then I heard a heartbeat. Have you guys ever seen those movies? We're on the movies today. We're coming to a close. That's my first one. That's probably the only one I need today. They're in an operating room, and it's flat line. You seen that? I've seen it in real life. Some of you have too. Not fun. When you're in a room with somebody you love, and it's seen it. As you watch the last color and breath come out of their face, somebody you love. It's tough in the physical, you know? But I want you to see in the spiritual right now. The devil has counted you all out. He's called it. He's called some of you out. Called you off. You know how a surgeon, a doctor, how they come in a room and they pump on your chest a few minutes. And Bobby's probably done this more times than he... And he gets to the end, he's about ready to quit. And doctors call it. Time of death, 12:30. Sunday. Devil's counted some of you all out. He said it's over. He's called it. You know what I hear? All of a sudden, the room gets quiet. Can you hear it? I hear a heartbeat! I hear a heartbeat! I hear the heartbeat! Satan, you have no power to defeat or call off my purpose. I have been ordained by a Most High God, and only He says when I live and when I die. Stop worrying about the devil. Stop worrying about demons. Stop worrying about people. And understand the heartbeat inside you is beating because of God. And it's beating with purpose. It's a heartbeat of an army. I first hear a heartbeat, and then I hear the clanging of swords and shields of an army arising. Then he said to me, son of man, those bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we've become old, dry bones, and all hope is gone. Our nation is finished. We're finished. Beep. Therefore, prophesy them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves. I will open your graves. Oh, of exile, and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, oh, my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Every head bowed. Thank you for being patient as I went down memory lane. And I know that God sent this message for a reason. And I'm going to ask you to do me one favor. We're going to be very quick. I do not beat a dead horse. Try not to. That's not my point. Because if I have to beat you to get you to an altar, or beat you to get you to live again, to beat you to get you to breathe again, I in my flesh would do it, but I won't be around you 24/7. At some point, you got to have a little want to. So I'm not going to beat this horse. Here's the question. Friend, how many in here, if you're honest and nobody's looking around, you've got some dreams and some hopes and some parts of your life that, if you're honest, seem dried out right now? If that's you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. I see them. Oh, my goodness. You're not alone. See, the devil's telling you you're alone, but over half this room had their hands up. You're not alone. It's all, right? Remember the word all? It's all. Say all. Keep your hands up. Be proud of it. Be proud, because that's how we're going to get better. If your hand gets tired, say, preacher, my hand gets tired. Switch hands every now and again. That's what I do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to count to three. And here's what I'm believing, that everything's going to, these bones, I see a valley of bones. All those hands up, I see them. Put them back up. I see them. I see a valley of bones. But when I count to three, you're going to get up like an army. And those bones are going to, they're going to start to come together again. We're going to spiritually see skin and muscle start to cover them. And we're going to hear a sound. In the spirit, we can hear a sound. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to hit this altar, and we're going to pray together. And all that sudden, that sound's going to go from beep to boop, boop, boop. Are you ready? Are you ready? You got to want it. Here we go. I'm not even going to be around the bush anymore. Here you go. Here you go. Army. 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 I hear army arising. Hands up. When I get to three, you just come. Some are already coming. One, two. Come on. Three. Get up here. Get up here.